We are a blessed people. Amen.
Amen.
I was very encouraged this morning as we continue in the Thanksgiving season. For the believer, every day should be Thanksgiving. But as we were singing this morning, our songs of praise and thanksgiving, count your many blessings, name them by one by one. I was just thinking that, we serve a God of infinite blessings. It would be impossible for us to name them one by one, but certainly appropriate for us to come together in praise and thanksgiving as we remember our God. And so this morning, as we continue in the Thanksgiving season, it's going to be a Thanksgiving message. We're going to talk about thankfulness a bit. We're going to talk about some of the things that the Bible says about being thankful. We're going to look at a few examples of thankfulness in Scripture. And at the end, we're just going to have a little brief overview of the Christian emphasis and the history of the Thanksgiving holiday in our own nation. Because too often that is swept under the rug. We don't look at that as much as we should. And frankly, if we don't teach it and talk about it in the churches and in our homes, our children will not know. So as we come together this morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to a familiar psalm, Psalm 100. We'll open this morning with Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Let's pray. Our Father, this morning, we're thankful that we can come together around the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can study the Word of God. We pray that You would hide the speaker behind the cross, behind the Word of God, that You would teach us this morning that which You would have us to see, and we'll give You all the honor and glory and praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I love Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is one of the most biblical of all of the holidays that we celebrate throughout the year. And I've noticed throughout my life, it seems like that there's been maybe less emphasis on Thanksgiving, if you will. It's not so much a commercialized holiday unless you're a grocery store. We talk about the turkey and the trimmings, and some of us like to watch a football game or two, and there's all kinds of things like that going on, but it seems like for the world, they're pretty quick to move from the trick-or-treats and the costumes of Halloween, right into the commercialization of Christmas, and even Thanksgiving these days seems to be overshadowed by, I think, what they call Black Friday. I saved a lot of money on Black Friday. I didn't buy anything. But, Black Friday now even encompasses Thursday. Saw someone made the comment, it probably says something about the spiritual condition of our nation that Black Friday has become so much more important than Good Friday. But just to keep us in the Thanksgiving season and realm of things, I just wanted for us to start this morning with this great psalm of thanksgiving. As our brother often reminds us, we read our Bibles too fast, and sometimes particularly these familiar passages to us. I remember my strength as a child, and even now, was probably not memorization. But one of the things that I probably memorized early on was Psalm 100. And just a few of the things that Psalm 100 reminds us about the attitude of thanksgiving. Being joyful. Talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Joyful. Gladness. Thanksgiving. Praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him. Christians are to be a thankful people. I think that it's something that we see godliness and thankfulness are really put together. We see that not only in this psalm, but many of the psalms in particular focus on being thankful, thanksgiving and praise. You know, in Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. You know, when you magnify something, you see it better. You don't change it, but you see it better. And when we magnify God, we see him better. We get a better idea, as Paul said, that I might know him. And that's really what our life is all about. We were created to bring glory to God, to have a relationship with God, to enjoy him forever. And when we see God magnified, we know him better. We know him better. And what we are reminded in this psalm is that when we praise him, when we are thankful, he is magnified. He is magnified. The psalms remind us that we serve God and we are thankful to God simply because of who he is. He is worthy. He is God. We are reminded here that he is our creator. And I think one of the reasons, quite frankly, in the world that we live, that we see less of an attitude of thankfulness is because people fail to acknowledge that God is our creator. You know, if you have the false worldview that you are here because of some series of cosmic accidents, that something was made out of nothing, you probably have a lot less tendency to be thankful than you would if you understand that you were created by an all-powerful, all-holy, all-knowing God. And so I think just that basis right there is probably one of the reasons that perhaps we have seen a loss of thankfulness in our society. We see more of an evidence of entitlement, if you will. People believe that they deserve what they get, as long as it's good. We are told, you know, have it your way, have it the way you want it. We are a society who is not very thankful, but we feel entitled as a society today. But we are reminded that we are to be thankful to God because of who he is. He is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth is everlasting, as we see in verse 5 of Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You know, truth never changes. It endures to all generations. It's not always accepted. It's certainly not universally accepted. It's not always interpreted correctly. But because we serve a God who never changes, now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve a God with whom there is no shadow of turning. We sang that this morning. We read that in the book of James. So it's very scriptural. God never changes. And truth never changes. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth is everlasting. Well, as we said, a godly person is a thankful person. If we want to be more like God, if we want to be godly, a godly person is a thankful person. And we see in Romans chapter 1 where an ungodly person is an unthankful person. We see those two put together. We read in Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And in verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we are reminded that the ungodly are unthankful. They don't glorify him as God. As we said earlier, oftentimes they don't even recognize him for who he is as the Creator, much less the one whose mercies are new every morning, who gives the sunshine and the rain to the godly and the ungodly, who provides us with all those many blessings that we talk about counting. When you start counting your blessings and you start thinking about your family, your health, your friends, your church, your home, all of your possessions, your mental faculties, your physical faculties, all of those things, we recognize when we see God for whom they are, for who He is, we recognize that we're not responsible for those things. He is. We are to be thankful for God for all that He has done. You know, we are reminded also in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brooders, despisers of good," and so forth. But they're unthankful. They're unthankful. And it says, "having a form of godliness, but denying its power." And then it says, "from such people turn away." So we were reminded once again that godliness goes together with thankfulness. And ungodliness, as people are more ungodly, they will by nature be more unthankful. If you don't see God for who He is, and you don't see yourself for who you are, and if you don't recognize, as we spoke about this morning at the Lord's Supper, that we are wretched sinners who have been plucked as brands from hell by a holy, loving God who loved us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us and pay for our sins, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If we don't recognize those things, then we're not thankful. We don't have those things to be thankful for. But as we saw this morning in Luke chapter 7, as we looked at the woman who washed the Lord's feet with her tears and washed His feet with her hair, now there was somebody who was indeed thankful. She was a wretched sinner, but she knew it. And she knew who she was serving. She knew who He was. She saw Him for who He was. She saw herself for who He was. And then that Pharisee, well, he wasn't very thankful. Because first of all, he had a very inflated view of who he was himself, and he had a very low view of who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And that's really what we see in the ungodly, is that they have a very inflated view of who they are and a very low view of who Christ are. If we want to find out something about people's theology and where they are, let's think about what they think of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we recognize Him for who He is, we see ourselves for who we are. And then we just start to get an inkling. We scratch the surface of how much for which we have to be thankful. And so God's people are called to be thankful. We are called to be thankful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Therefore, as the elect of God," that's who we are as believers, "holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering," and then verse 15 says, "and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." And be thankful. So we're reminded once again to be thankful. You know, giving thanks to the Lord is directly mentioned at least 75 times in Scripture. So it must be pretty important. You know, when something is repeated over and over and over again, there's an emphasis there. And so when it's directly mentioned at least 75 times in Scripture, it must be pretty important, so we should pay attention. You know, we open with a familiar psalm. Thankfulness, as I said, is often expressed in the psalm. So I just want to look at a few verses just to remind us of what we may already know if we've studied the psalms or read them. Psalm 92 begins, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." So, right, that's a pretty simple statement, but that's a good thing to do, just to give thanks to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." For He is good. God is good. God is good. You know, one of the first things that I remember learning, learning to pray, God is great, God is good. Now, that's a pretty simple concept. A lot of the things that we preach and teach are very simple concepts. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That pretty much wraps it up. The Bible says it, and so it's true. But God is great. God is the maker of all heavens and earth. God is the maker of the universe. He is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere present. God is great. He is greater than anything that we can imagine. We have studied together about creation. We have studied at times about just the tremendous realm of the universe and all of the subtleties there and how it's so far beyond anything that you and I can even begin to wrap our minds around. God is great. But then God is good. We serve a good God, a loving God, a merciful God, a graceful God. And, you know, there are times whenever people question God. But God is good. If we recognize that we serve a good God, that's enough to give thanks for right there. We don't serve a God like some religions of the world where they serve out of fear because of the tremendous punishment that they're trying to appease an angry God. They're trying to earn favor. They're trying to earn salvation. We don't do that. Christianity is not about that. We serve a God of grace and mercy, a God of love, a God who paid our sacrifice Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't earn our salvation. That's not what we even can do, and we don't have to, because we serve a good God. We serve a good God. You know, I said Psalm 107 verse 1 said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." A merciful God. You know, you and I, we don't get what we deserve. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful? What we deserve is separation from God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation. That's what we earned. That's our wage. But because of God's mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Four more times in Psalm 107, it says this, and remember, repetition is good. So God's Word doesn't make any mistakes. It's there four times for a reason. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works." So there again, we are reminded we give thanks to the God because of who He is, because of His character, because He is good. And we also give thanks for Him because of His wonderful works, because of the things that He has done. Now, first of all, the character of God is enough. A lot of us here are parents. Some of us are grandparents. And you know, we want for our kids to love us. And we want for them to love us not just because of what we do for them. We want for them to love us because of who we are. That's unconditional love. You know, when we get married and we pledge our love to the other, what do we talk about? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Right? Unconditional. Not just for what you do, but for because of who you are. We ought to love God because of who He is. But then even on top of that, we are reminded of His wonderful works, the great things that He has done. You know, we can start with Calvary, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but then, as we said before, His works are infinite. We could never count them one by one. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and we're reminded that we are to be thankful because of who God is and because of what He has done. You know, we are to be godly. We said godliness is equated with thankfulness. Thankfulness is often listed as a quality among the characteristics of godliness. We see that once again in Ephesians chapter 5, where we are told to be imitators of God as dear children. It goes on to say, "Walk in love as Christ has loved us, given Himself for us." And then it goes on to say, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." And then later in Ephesians chapter 5, we are told to give thanks for always for all things. Always for all things. So that's pretty much all-encompassing. Now, we might say at times, well, things that are bad that happen in our lives, why should we give thanks for that? Well, we give thanks because we serve a God who never leaves nor forsakes us. We serve a God who, because of Romans 8:28, reminds us that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So even when things happen in our lives that are tough, that are distressing, that we don't understand, and we all have them, you know, health issues, financial issues, family issues, I mean, go on and on. We all have trials and tribulations that we have to deal with. That's part of life. But James reminds us to count it all joy when you have trials. Not because you have trials, but when you have trials, because we do serve a gracious God. We serve a God of grace and mercy. And so we can, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it is God's will that in everything we give thanks. In everything we give thanks. That says a lot about our relationship with God. It's easy to be thankful whenever good things happen. It's easy whenever our loved ones give us that perfect gift that we wanted to receive to say thank you, or give them a hug or something like that. But we need to be thankful for the person that we love every day, that oftentimes we take for granted. And let's be honest, we take God for granted. We take God's blessings for granted. We take His mercies for granted. Too oftentimes when things happen in our lives that, you know, are really good, we want to be the first ones to stand up and take credit for them, right? We like it when people kind of pat us on the back and tell us, you know, how good we are and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is, we ought to say, to God be the glory, great things He has done. We are what we are by the grace of God. As Paul said, you know, every one of us could say with the Apostle Paul, we're the chief of sinners. Every one of us could say, none of us deserve the goodness and the greatness of God. And so we have a great deal to be thankful for. Thanking God for who He is, thanking God for what He has done. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. I'm thankful that we come together every Lord's Day and we have what's called a service of remembrance, a service of worship and remembrance. We remember the Lord every week, and we should remember the Lord every day. You know, we should be in an attitude of prayer. We should be in an attitude of oneness with the Lord. As we continue to grow and the Lord grows us in our relationship with Him, we should be having that attitude of thankfulness to the Lord on a daily basis. Psalm 105 says, O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. You know, when we're thankful, we ought to be sharing that with others. When we believe that the Lord has blessed us, we ought to be telling the other people about where those blessings come from. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You know, when we are receiving God's blessings and we're recognizing that it's not because of ourselves but because of the God that we serve, we ought to be making known His deeds. We ought to be sharing that with the likes of others. Psalm 107 also says, Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I think we said that earlier, but I wanted to point out for this one, give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. So there again, God is good. He is good in His works to all men. We ought to give thanks to God for His mercy. We said that earlier, but just again, Lamentations chapter 3 says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Do we ever give much thought about that? You know, God is all-powerful. God hates sin. We all have sin in our lives that we deal with. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. By the grace of God, we're growing in Him. We're learning to love which is good, to hate what is sin. But we still fall short of God's perfect standard. You know, whether you're Hitler on one end of the spectrum or Billy Graham on the other end of the spectrum, the truth of the matter is we all fall totally short of God's standard. And the Bible tells us there in Lamentations that it is only by God's mercies that we're not consumed, that we don't suffer the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah on any day that we exist, that God doesn't just strike us dead. And so we ought to be thankful even for that. Great is your faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, as we sung earlier in that great hymn. You know, we're to thank God for our salvation. We're to thank God for our salvation. God initiated our salvation. He reached out to us. It didn't start with us. It started with the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that great chapter that speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that central event, you know, to our faith, where the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected, God was fully propitiated, the price was paid, the work was done, Christ was resurrected. And where does it end? In verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We can be thankful for the victory. You know, all of us like to win. We like those victories. I know Todd Moore was loving that victory when State beat Carolina the other day. You know? But you know what? They're going to play again next year. Right? And maybe Carolina will win. Maybe. But whether you won the Super Bowl this year or the NCAA championship or whatever, there's always another game. Those victories are never permanent. There's always going to be another game. You win an election, there's going to be another election. You know, this world's victories are all temporary. Regardless of how much we enjoy them for the day, there's always going to be another game. There's always going to be another, you know, battle to fight. There's always going to be another game to play. Aren't you glad that the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is permanent and eternal? Amen? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ won the victory. You and I didn't win it. But He shares it with the likes of us. And it's something that we can never lose. That is an eternal victory we can be thankful. We can be thankful for. Well, as we read through the Bible, we see several instances of people thanking the Lord. And I just want to perhaps look at a few of those, if you will. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to look at a few. We're only going to look at just two or three verses in each case. They're stories that probably most are familiar with. But, you know, in Exodus chapter 14, here we have Moses and the people of Israel who have just come out of Egypt. God has led them out. God has kept them safe. God has parted the Red Sea, and, you know, and the enemies have been consumed. And so they're free at last. After all those years of bondage and slavery, the enemy is consumed. The people are safe on the other side. And just breaking in here at the end of Exodus 14 and verse 31, it says, "Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea." So what was the reaction there? The people feared the Lord and they believed the Lord. That should be our reaction. When we're thankful people, we should fear the Lord and we should believe the Lord. We should believe His Word. Now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I say we're just going to go through a few of these really quickly. But I want to look at the example of Hannah. And we're all, most of us, familiar with the story of Hannah. Hannah was a wife who had no children. And she ended up becoming the mother of Samuel in response to her prayers. And in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27, she says this, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of Him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. And what I wanted to point out is that when we are thankful to the Lord, there should be a response of commitment and giving to the Lord. Hannah made a commitment to the Lord that her son would serve the Lord, and she gave him to the Lord for a life of service. She gave up the best that she had. She gave up her son. There's a picture there. Okay, the Lord gave the best that he had for us. He gave up his son. But in that sense, because of her thankfulness, because her prayer had been answered, she was thankful to God, and she demonstrated that through commitment and giving to the Lord. You know, we all recognize that there are times when we are guilty of just lip service, right? We might say thank you, but we don't really show a very cheerful or thankful attitude. And a lot of times we can tell it. You know, we chastise our children at times, or we can chastise ourselves and say, you know, I don't want just the lip service, I want the attitude. And we need to check our own hearts. Not to just say that we're thankful to the Lord, not to just come together once a year and celebrate Thanksgiving and talk about how much we're thankful and sing hymns like Counting Our Many Blessings. Those are wonderful. We should do that. But we need to make sure that is you know, faith is an action, just like love is an action. And I would suggest that what we see here is that thankfulness is an action. It's an action that should require our commitment and our giving to the Lord. All right, turn over now to 2 Samuel. Okay, from 1 Samuel to 2 Samuel. And we'll look at chapter 2. And we're going to see an example here with David, with King David. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to break in at verse 2. So David went up there, and his two wives also. And verse 3, David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the city of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they were anointed. They anointed David over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones with Saul. And so David sent messengers to the men and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. We see that David here is thankful. There is a repentance that we see with David. We see that he is in obedience to the Lord and what he is doing. This is just a few verses, but when we think about the life of David and what David did in response to the Lord and what he had done for him, we saw that David showed repentance in his life and he showed obedience to the Lord in his life. And finally, I want to look at a couple of New Testament examples. If you'll turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. This is the demon-possessed man. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. This is the Lord getting into the boat, the demon-possessed man begging him that he might stay with him. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. You know, when we are blessed, we witness to others that the Lord is the source of our blessings. That's what the Lord was telling this demon-possessed man that he was to do. He was thankful for what the Lord had done for him, and he wanted to stay with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, no, go out to witness to others. And when we're when we are blessed as we are by God, we should go out and witness to others. And then we're going to look at one more example. We looked at it at the Lord's Supper this morning. Luke 17. Luke 17. We're going to talk about that one thankful leopard that our brother read to us this morning about. You know, there were 10 lepers, and the Lord healed all 10. And we see the one here that was thankful. Luke 17, beginning with verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourself to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know, what we saw here is that when the leper gave thanks to the Lord, it says the Lord was glorified. He glorified him. And so when we give thanks to God, that brings glory to God. So as we said earlier, that's really our chief purpose in life. That's why we were created, is to give glory to God. So what a high purpose, you know, that when we are simply giving thanks to God, it says that God is glorified. You know, we said earlier that God's love is conditional. God loves the unthankful even as He loves the thankful. Luke 6 reminds us, as just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. That's hard for us to do. But the Bible tells us if we're going to be like God, you know, our love should be unconditional towards others. But we were reminded here that God, His love is so great, it's easier for us to love people when they love us first. It's easy for us to be thankful, as I said earlier, when everybody's giving us what we want or telling us what we want to hear. But here, it says that God, well, He loves the unthankful as well. Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount reminds us in verse 45 that the Lord makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. I mean, what a merciful God that He sends the sun and the rain and all of those blessings on both. So, again, we are a blessed people. I think everything we've said this morning, everybody could just nod your head and say amen. I didn't tell you anything earth-shattering. But it's important for us, I think, to have that constant introspective of what God has done for us and see Him for who He is and see ourselves for who we are. And when we truly see that, the attitude has to be one of thankfulness. How can we be an unthankful people when we see what all God has done? I want to just take the last just very few minutes and talk about Thanksgiving, because I think it is a wonderful thing that our country does set aside a Thanksgiving holiday, although I think it has often been distorted in recent years. You know, there was a time that it seemed like our country was thankful to God and focused on that. And then it kind of migrated over towards being thankful to the Indians for what they had done. And then finally, there just seems to be less mention of thanks at all. But I do think it's important for our young people and for our older people like myself to even remind us about our history So let me just take you back for a few hundred years and just remind you a little bit about the first Thanksgiving festival in America. It was the Pilgrims. And for those of you that remember your American history a little bit, the Pilgrims left Plymouth, England in September of 1620. There were 102 people. They risked their lives, their families' lives. The journey was dangerous. And they came primarily because they wanted religious liberty and civil liberty. The journey alone was about 3 months. The conditions were harsh, probably beyond what you and I would imagine. Many people died. In the first year alone, more than half died. The majority of the married women died. But on December 11th, they disembarked their ship at Plymouth Rock. They signed what was called the Mayflower Compact. That was America's first document of civil government. What we don't often hear is that the first act was to have a prayer service to God. The Pilgrims declared a three-day feast in the next several months. And in 1621, they had that feast. It was the first Thanksgiving festival in America. They might note that that was the first festival, but there were Thanksgiving services in Jamestown in 1607. So from the very founding of this country, there were Thanksgiving services, and the focus was thanks to God. And then we became a country. Then we became a constitutional republic. And in 1789, the first Congress passed a resolution asking the president to recommend to the nation a day of Thanksgiving. And so President George Washington issued this proclamation. I'm only going to read a few lines of it, but just to give you a close idea of what it was thankful about, and it was thankful to God. So here is George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation, condensed. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, quote, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. And then later he goes on to say, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday the 26th of November next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, and that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and the protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation. And he goes on to speak of God's providence and His favor regarding the war for independence. And then he says, for the civil and religious liberty for which we are blessed, and in general, for all the great and various favors which He has been pleased to confer upon us, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all to perform our duties, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, and to bless other nations with good governments and peace, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He, as God alone, knows to be best. Now, we can hear all of today's historians talk about how separation of church and state and how God and godliness had nothing to do with the founders of our country, and we can collectively say that that is rubbish. And I hope as we read things like that and we remind ourselves of those things, we recognize that that was not the case. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, but in the midst of the war between the states, you all know about the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. And Lincoln made a speech there that was every bit as godly as the one that I just read by George Washington. And the point that I wanted to make from that speech was that 1863 and the time that he gave that speech was spiritually a pivotal point in Lincoln's life. And that was according to his own testimony. He said this. When he was, he was quoted as this. He explained to a friend. He said, "When I left Springfield, Illinois, to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian." He said, "When I buried my son, the most severe trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I went to Gettysburg and I saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I then and there consecrated myself to Christ." If you study the life of Lincoln, if you read where he came from and where he went to, and you go on to read some of the things that he even said in his second inaugural, you see there was a transformation of the man. I believe the man became a Christian. By his own testimony and witness, he became a Christian. And we saw that, and we would have seen it. I'm not going to read the Thanksgiving Proclamation, but it started then, and ever since then, there have been a holiday in America commemorating Thanksgiving on an annual basis. So I just want for us to understand that despite what many other historians would try to tell us today, America does have a godly heritage, and we need to preserve that, and we need to teach it to our kids, and we need to keep it going, because we're really quick to say, "May God bless America." And I think everybody in this room knows that God will bless America when America blesses God. And that's what we need to do. We need to do it personally in our own hearts. We need to do it as a church. And we need to do it as a nation. So I hope as we think about that during this Thanksgiving season, we recognize who it is that we're thankful to. We're thankful to a great and a good God. So let's close in prayer. Father, we are thankful. We are a grateful people. We have so much to be thankful for. The blessings that you have bestowed upon us are far above our limited ability to ever count. But Father, we do pray that you would help us, that we would know you better, as we would see ourselves and see you for who you are. Father, we pray that our response would be one of gratefulness, of thankfulness, of godliness. And Father, as we continue to celebrate this Thanksgiving season, we pray that as believers we would have thanksgiving in our hearts every day. Father, we pray that we would share that with others, that they might see the source of our blessings, that they might see a difference in us, that they too would want to worship you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.